Book of Matthew, the chapter 11, and we will read verses 28, 29, and 30 together. Verses 28 through 30. Christ is speaking here, and he states, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Each year, many tourists visit the Winchester Mansion in San Jose, California. It was built by a lady named Sarah Winchester, who was the widow of a wealthy gun company owner. She was a widow for 38 years. She was widowed from 1884 until 1922. And during that time, the last 38 years of her life, whenever she was a widow, she lived a life of anything but peace and rest. You see, she had this notion that unless she kept adding to her home and kept building her home and kept extending her home and kept changing her home, that she would then be haunted by ghosts and sadly die. Carpenters and masons were all employed round the clock. And she felt that as long as building work continued in her house, then she would not be taken by death. It is said that there are more than 10,000 windows in that mansion. There are doorways and stairs that lead to blank walls. And it is said that if you were to count up today exactly how much that lady spent on that home, it would equate to more than £50 million today. Why was all of this pointless construction happening? Why did she do this? Well, it was all for us in a search for peace that sadly on Mrs. Winchester's part was doomed to failure. And you know, here in Matthew chapter 11, this is a chapter that is completely comprised with individuals needing rest or seeking peace of some kind. In the opening 6 verses, you are met by an individual who knows John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, at this stage, he's in prison. He is there. He is worried, and there's these thoughts going through his mind. This thought comes to John the Baptist's mind. Is Jesus Christ really the Messiah? So what does he do? Well, in this state of a lack of peace and rest, he gets an individual to come to his prison and then to go to Jesus Christ to see if he really is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So John the Baptist, he was doubtful and he needed answers. He needed rest. Then in verse 7, we are introduced to a multitude of people. In verse 7, we read, "As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes." These individuals, well, they were given the tremendous testimony of John the Baptist. You see, these individuals who were listening to Christ on this particular day, well, they had been subject to terrible and dastardly teaching. They had been subjected to the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees. And basically that teaching was this: you must do, you must perform, you must do something of a religious kind in order to know rest for your soul. And so here were individuals again who were seeking rest and who were needing rest. They had been induced to the performance of a strict and a binding religion. And in this struggle, they had found no answer to their guilt and to their sin. Christ then, knowing these people, as he knows all things, as he knows what is in man, and he knows the thoughts of man, and he knows the heart of man, Christ then, what does he do? Well, in verse 20 onwards, he sets before them an example not to follow. He speaks of different cities and different towns. He speaks of Capernaum and Chorazin and other cities. And he essentially says this: these cities, they were cities that knew many mighty miracles. These cities, they knew divine intervention. These cities, they knew, in general, the blessing of Jesus Christ. And yet, for all of their privileges, sadly, Christ, he pronounced a woe upon them. You think of Capernaum. Woe unto Capernaum, thou art exalted into heaven, but cast down into hell. And he was essentially saying, look for all of your privileges. There will be a tremendous punishment if you do not make the most of your privileges. And after setting before these individuals, these weary individuals, these individuals who needed peace and who needed rest and who needed assurance, after setting before them a bad example to follow, we then come to the words of our text in verse 28. He gives this wonderful, this global, this general invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives them a most gracious invitation. It was an invitation to have done with religion, and to have done with doing, and to have done with performing, and to simply come unto him and find rest for their souls. You see, rest and refreshment is not found in a scheme, nor is it even found in a set of standards. It is found solely in the Savior. It is found solely in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And oh, the Lord is saying to you this evening, to have done with this business of trying to do and trying to work and trying to perform, because rather than actually bringing you closer to heaven, it is bringing you further away. Because the more you try to do and the more you try to appease God, then the more guilt-ridden you become and the more unsatisfied and the more weary you are left in your sin. And so here is a wonderful invitation, especially to you if you're not saved. But even if you are saved and you're perhaps in a position where you're working and you're laboring and you're trying to please God in all that you do with the labors of your hands, Christ is saying to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you refreshment. And so this evening, I simply want to take as the theme, Christ's invitation to rest. Christ's invitation to rest. I want you to think firstly with me about the candidates of this invitation. The candidates of this invitation. Verse 28, we read, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ here, he's addressing a multitude of people. And this multitude of people, well, they had been subjected to a works-based religion of the most strictest kind. They had been subjected to the teaching of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, they had approximately 613 add-ons to Scripture that you had to abide by. And this business of trying to adhere to all of these differing add-ons, well, it was wearying the people that they were trying to minister to. And Christ, he explained this because he said, come unto me, all ye that labor. The word labor here, it means to toil to the point of exhaustion. It is used in John chapter 4 of Jesus Christ when he comes to Jacob's well and he'd been walking for quite some time and it was warm and he had labored and he was absolutely exhausted physically speaking. So here he speaks of individuals and they are completely exhausted. They had labored till the point of exhaustion. They were wearied because they were trying to abide by every little jot and every little tittle and every little add-on to the laws of the Pharisees. And Christ, he says, this is exactly the candidate, this is exactly the type of person that needs rest. Those who are trying to labor and they're actually exhausted, trying to work their way to heaven. But he goes a step further and he speaks of those who were laboring. But he also speaks of those who were heavy laden. Now the phrase heavy laden in the original, it refers to the loading of a ship. You know what it's like? You see a ship there and it's being loaded with cargo. And the thought here is actually of the ship being laden down so much that the ship is actually beginning to sink. And here are individuals and they're laboring and they're trying and they're doing their very best that they can muster. And what's the outcome of it all? Well, they're laboring to the point of exhaustion and now they're heavy laden. Now they are so heavy laden, they are burdened down and they feel themselves to actually be sinking. Here were individuals, and the more they tried, and the more they tried to abide by the laws of the scribes and Pharisees, the more then they were bored down by this. And rather than removing their guilt, this business of laboring and trying to the point of exhaustion, it actually added to their guilt. It was only making it greater. You see, religious effort, rather than lightening the load of sin, it actually adds to the load of sin. It wears and wearies you down. This is what religion does in all of its forms. Whether it be Mormonism, whether it be Roman Catholicism, whether it be even apostate Protestantism, whatever form of religion you care to mention tonight, this is exactly what it does to you. Because if you're trying to appease God, a God who is angry with your sin, and a God who can only be appeased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're trying to do it your own way, and you get no further, and actually you feel it's one step forward and two steps back, what's actually happening? This sense of guilt. It's not diminishing any. It's not getting smaller. It's getting bigger. And there's this thought, I can't please God. I'm trying, I'm doing my best, I'm laboring to the point of exhaustion, but I just don't seem to have my guilt removed. Is that you this evening? Trying to please God with all that you're doing and all that you're trying, and you're trying to alleviate your guilt, but all the while you're being borne down. The cargo, as it were, it's stacking up and you feel as if you're sinking. Well, this is what sin does. This is what guilt does to us. It bears us down. Again, in Acts 15, verse 10, we read, "Therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" I personally, as a Presbyterian, I love Acts chapter 15, because that is the first presbytery meeting of Scripture. And there in that meeting, all of the church come together. It's not just the church in Jerusalem. No, it is all of the churches. They're coming together. The elders, both teaching and ruling, they're coming together and they're making a decision. What was the decision? Well, it was a decision based on circumcision. In other words, adding to the gospel. And here's Simon Peter. And he gets up and he makes a contribution in this first presbytery meeting. And what does he say? He says, adding to the gospel, it's like putting a yoke around our necks. And it did, when the Jews tried it, speaking there of his fathers, he said, the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Said the Jews weren't able to bear it. It was bearing them down, adding to the gospel, trying to please God through any other means but by resting in the Messiah. And it was just like a yoke. They weren't able to bear it. Again, Paul speaking to a church that had been infiltrated by a works-based religion. He said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, every man shall bear his own burden. And again, he spoke of trying to appease God through religion. He spoke of it as a burden. A burden. A burden that was bearing down and bringing them down. Indeed, denouncing the religious leaders of his day, Christ, he said in Matthew 23, verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them in men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Again, he's speaking here of the Pharisees, and he says that they were adding so much to the gospel that it was like laying a huge weight on someone's shoulder and they couldn't even move it with one of their fingers. Oh, this is what guilt, this is what the thought of trying to please God, it does to you. Rather than bringing you up, it actually bears you down. It bears and bows you underneath its heavy requirements. Maybe tonight, you've tried for many a week and month and year. You've tried to please God, but there's still this thought of my guilt. And it's still there. And it's plaguing you every single day. And you can't get away from it. And you can't run from it. You can't escape it. Because you know that you have offended an angry God. And Romans 2 tells us that we all have a conscience. And it bears witness. In other words, when we offend God, the conscience, whether we try to suppress it or not, the conscience tells us we are guilty. Maybe your conscience has been doing that, preparing you for the rest of Jesus Christ, but still yet, you're trying to please God, trying to appease Him by your own religious attainments. One of the interesting things about the Reformation that I learned last year, very practical thing, you look at Martin Luther, before his conversion, Martin Luther was extremely thin. Extremely thin. You look at pictures in Reformation articles and so on of Luther before his conversion, he was extremely thin. He would spend hours, days fasting, days without sleep. Why? Trying to pray, trying to appease God. And yet when he found peace in Jesus Christ, you look at him years afterwards, there's a difference in his figure. There's a contentment there. There is a peace there. This is what religion does. It bears us down, and even in the physical realm. So the candidates of this invitation, I want you to notice secondly with me, the covenant within this invitation. The covenant within this invitation. Verse 28, we read, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." And here it is, here's the covenant, here's the agreement, the promise, "I will give you rest." The word rest in the original is a very full and rich word. It has the idea of calm and peace and tranquility and even refreshment. And here were individuals in this chapter, and especially in these verses, and here were individuals that had been subjected to religious teaching and religious exertions and performances. And here were candidates that were trying to do really the impossible. They're trying to abide by every single thing and every single standard and every single little requirement that the Pharisees had required of them. And they had grown weary in this quest. And what has Christ promised them? Peace, tranquility, calm. Here were individuals who were spiritually speaking in their quest for peace. They were spiritually exacerbated and spiritually exhausted as well as unsatisfied. And he says, "I'll give you calm. I'll give you rest." The actual verb in the original text, it has the idea of resting up. Resting up. You know what it's like when someone says to you and you're weary? Rest up. Rest up. And that's the thought here, the thought of resting up, the thought of peace, a wonderful picture of contentment. And Christ is simply saying that if you come to me, you'll rest up spiritually speaking. I promise, I covenant that I will give you rest. You see, Christ not only proclaims rest, he also procures and provides rest. He promises rest for the weary soul. Oh, what a promise for you this evening. You've been wearied, and you're trying, and you're doing, and you're performing, and you're up to your neck in religion. And yet you, at the end of the day, you're no further on. In actual fact, you're more weary. You're absolutely spiritually exhausted. What does Christ say to you? He says this, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Don't come to a plan or a scheme or even a denomination, good as though we may be in terms of abiding by Scripture. Come to a person. Come to a person. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I will give you that assurance, that contentment that I and I alone can give. Now the question is then, how does he do this? How does he give rest? How does he give satisfaction and spiritual nourishment? Well, Colossians 1:20 sums it all up very nicely. Speaking of Jesus Christ, Paul said to a church who were trying again to add to the gospel through enlightened knowledge, he says this, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross." Made peace through the blood of his cross. He's saying that peace, or we could put it another way, rest, is solely through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Then through submitting to him, you can know peace. And again, notice what he said to his disciples just before he went to the cross. When they were submitting to him, he said in John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, ye might have peace. In me. He's saying to his disciples here, who were already followers of him, in me, you'll have peace. In me, you'll have rest. You see, rest is not found in the plan of salvation. Rest is found in the person of salvation. It is solely found in the person of Jesus Christ. Tonight you'll not find rest even in the logical plan of the gospel. No, because in reading the plan, you need to get to the person. You need to get to the substance of the gospel, who is Jesus Christ. And so, you can try praying, and you can try performing, and you can try planning, and you can even try doing things, and even going places. But rest is found in a personal relationship and submission to Jesus Christ. Come unto me, and he absolutely promises. He covenants. He promises, I will give you rest. Henry David Thoreau was a little bit of an anarchist. He was against the government in many ways, against government tax and against many of their policies. And he was a bit of an abolitionist. He was a large advocate of a simple and a quiet life. One of these quietists. And he said this. I think it's very insightful. He said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. I wonder tonight, is that you? Maybe outwardly all is well, but inwardly there is this quiet desperation. There is this load of sin. Well, Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You can rest up when you come to me. The candidates, the covenant. I want you to think thirdly with me about the compliance following this invitation. The compliance following this invitation. Verse 29, Christ says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Christ, he promised rest. We've already seen that in verse 28. He simply required these individuals to come. And whenever they did come, they would find rest. They would find repose. They would find peace and calm. But he now proceeds to explain more fully. What does it actually mean when he says, come unto me? What does it mean to come to Jesus Christ? What is he saying to these individuals who had been taught by Pharisees and scribes that they had to do and do and do in order to know God? He says, come unto me. So the question is, what does Christ mean when he says, come unto me? Well, he explains it in verse 29. And he explains it again through the everyday concept of being yoked. He says there, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The yoke, of course, was a wooden instrument. It was used in the farming arena in Israel at this time in Bible times. And the instrument was placed around the neck of an ox or oxen. And it was then attached to the plough behind them. And the oxen then, of course, would then plough through the yoke. Or it would pull the wagon that it was pulling. Now, this would have been a little bit painful at first for the ox. But what Christ was saying here was that when they came to him, when he says, come unto me, they were then yoked to him. They were joined to him. As the ox, as it saw the yoke coming towards him, he had to submit, he had to surrender. The yoke, it was carefully fitted for the neck of that particular animal, and so it had to submit. And if it didn't submit, there would be plenty of pain for the animal. And it was a familiar setting. It is referred to many, many times in Scripture. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be reproved. Again, referring to the hardening of the ox towards the yoke. So there was pain here. But Christ is saying that if you would be like the ox and just gently submit your life and be yoked to me, then you would be my disciple. They would then learn of him. What he was saying was this, They would need to relinquish all of their former religion and their performances and their attainments. And they would come to him not in a flippant manner, but rather in a manner in which was befitting of him. They would submit to him. They would be yoked to him. They would be joined to him. And in submitting to him, they would then find rest for their souls. You see, it's one thing to decide for Christ. It's another thing to be a disciple of Christ, to be a true learner and follower of him. And just like the yoke with the oxen, so there sometimes is a little bit of pain in surrendering to Jesus Christ. Sometimes there is. Sometimes you need to relinquish things. Maybe a darling sin. Or maybe perhaps a thought that you have had in terms of your own efforts trying to please God. Sometimes there is pain. But what Christ is saying is this. When you come to me, you become a follower of me. The word learn there, or the verb learn, it actually has the idea of being a disciple. It's used of the same word. The same word is used of the disciples. And they're learning of him. They are resting in him. They are submitting to all of his ways. And so, tonight the question is, are you yoked to Jesus Christ completely and entirely? Have you come to him and fully surrendered to him and yielded your complete life to him? Or tonight perhaps, are you just resting in a decision that maybe you have made many years ago, but there's been no difference in your life? There has been no learning of Jesus Christ. You're not a disciple of Jesus Christ or a true follower of Jesus Christ. That's the question. Yes, when Christ says, come unto me, I will give you rest. But whenever we come to Jesus Christ, we relinquish all of our former selves and we relinquish our former sins and our former lusts and we leave them all and thank God they're forgiven by Jesus Christ, but we leave them there and we follow after, as the Catechism says, and endeavor after new obedience. And so tonight, are you following Jesus Christ? Are you disciplined? Are you under his discipline? Are you seeking to conform your life more and more unto the image of his God's dear Son? Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Christ is laying down the terms of discipleship here. And we read there, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Losing life. Saying, look, Lord, here is my life. Take it. I've lost it. Now I'm seeking to submit myself and conform myself completely, entirely to your ways. You see, it's one thing to come to Christ. It's another thing to conform to Jesus Christ. And tonight, are you conforming to him? Because when you do conform to him, as we're going to see in a few moments, there's wonderful comfort there. Wonderful comfort. And that's our last thought, the comfort in this invitation. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Whenever we submit our lives to Jesus Christ, Christ is saying, look, whilst there may be difficulty and there may be hardship, when we submit, it's just like the oxen coming to the yoke. But there's this wonderful comfort annexed to it all. My burden is light. And my yoke, it is easy. The word easy here in the original, it signifies not only ease, but there's actually grace. What is he saying? My yoke is gracious. It's gracious. And my burden is light. That's the same word, by the way, as two verses previous. When he speaks about being burdened and heavy laden, being laid down, burdened down by sin. What is Christ saying? He's saying this. He's saying the load that you carry, it's light. It is light. The yoke that you have, it is easy. It's actually gracious. You see, coming to Christ and conforming to Christ then brings the comfort of Jesus Christ, an easy yoke and a light burden. And what joy there is whenever you submit your life entirely to Jesus Christ, To know that yes, there are hardships, and to know that yes, there is the yoke, and there are the burdens, and there are the difficulties, but it is easy. And the burdens, they are light. In comparison to the guilt and the load of sin that you previously knew. What an invitation tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there is a flip side of this, and with this I'm finished. The Bible speaks also of those who have no rest. No rest. In Revelation chapter 14, after referring to the bottomless pit, we read there in Revelation 14 verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image. No rest. No rest in hell. No peace in hell. And so the question tonight really is this: are you going to come to Jesus Christ and know his easy burdens and his light yoke, and submit your life entirely to him and come to him implicitly? Or will you sadly end up in a place where there is no rest, day nor night? No rest. In fact, eternal torment for the soul. Christ's invitation to rest. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts and lives this evening.